You're listening to IsraelScene.com.
And you're listening to IsraelScene.com.
Listening to IsraelScene.com.
Seen through the eyes of Steve, that's myself.
And you're on.
Two characters passionate about everything that happens in Israel.
IsraelScene.com.
IsraelScene.com.
Well, here we are. I want to tell you. Steve has moved apartments to North Tel Aviv.
It was a fish that just jumped out of the water.
And as a matter of fact, his apartment is right next to the Arkon River. And we're sitting on the banks of the Arkon River. And here comes a guy doing, what do they call that?
Rowing.
Rowing. On one of those very small little devices. And schoolgirls passing. And in the distance is the tower of the Reading Electric Power Plant, which I don't even know if it's still...
It works.
It does work.
On gas, though.
It's been supplying Tel Aviv with electricity for many decades from before the state. Speaking of before the state and things about the state, we are standing a week away from the 60th anniversary of the founding of the state, and there is a tremendous amount of activity and events and special things going on to celebrate, observe, and recognize that incredible accomplishment, some of which I think is a little more than necessary, but after the last several years, having a party sounds like a really good idea. That was the sound of somebody whizzing by, literally, bicycle. It's a really nice day today. It was very, very cold. I'll tell you this, Steve. It was really, really cold this morning in Jerusalem when I left, and it's probably warm up there now, too, and it'll probably be really cold tonight. But meanwhile, it's beautiful down here in Tel Aviv. There's a little breeze blowing. We're sitting in the sun, which is an unusual thing for me. But that's how nice it is.
I think we've been in the 60s with a beautiful, cool breeze. This is spring in Tel Aviv. I think this is the best time of year for me. It's not too humid, not too hot. At night, you could just leave the windows open and get this incredible breeze. I'm going to take some pictures so we can put them in with the show, so people get to see what we were looking at as we were broadcasting. But it's an incredible time. Also tonight,
well, we have two Memorial Days in this
Holocaust
cycle.
This is the Holocaust Memorial Day, which starts tonight and runs all throughout tomorrow. There's no entertainment throughout the country.
Even in Tel Aviv.
So that just shows how important the day is, or the enforcement. It's been a long time. It's been a while since we've had our own show, just you and me. So what topics are we open to today that you'd like to talk about?
We're still deeply conflicted about what's going on in Gaza and what it is possible to do about it. We just had another incident in which civilians were killed. A particularly gruesome incident, a mother and four children in their own home. The very conflicted reports as to exactly what happened, and it's another one of those that you never, I don't think there will ever be a definitive, absolutely, you know, she said, guaranteed, truthful, the absolute truth about what happened. There was no, you know, movie camera directly overhead at the instant of the event. Israel claims that we saw two suspicious characters carrying a heavy bag and a rifle, and that when we fired a missile at them, the missile explosion triggered the explosion of the explosives that they were carrying, and in fact it's that explosive which ultimately killed this family. And the fact that the most of the Palestinians in Gaza, you know, are living in a war zone, and that the terrorists are free to use them and their homes for cover is, they tried, I remember a few years ago, there was a family that tried that wouldn't let them fire, use their backyard or front yard to shoot at Israelis, and the family did not fare at all well. So I think they're quite intimidated, although I'm sure there's also a fair degree of sympathy and empathy with the idea of shooting at Israelis. And the result is tragic. There goes a beautiful white bird, a heron. Oh, yeah. And another little rowing device. with two people. What do they call a crew when they row together?
Yeah, I don't know the technical term for these boats. I'm not an oarsman.
That sounds
an oarsman.
Well, this ain't Nor either. This is down south.
We're in a war, and we're fighting a war in Gaza when we go in because of all the rockets coming into Israeli territory and making hell for a number of yeshuvim, villages and settlements in Israel. And every once in a while there are going to be civilians killed on both sides. We don't make an effort to kill civilians. Point is to destroy whatever infrastructure we can with terrorist infrastructure that exists, Hamas, Jihad Islami, and so forth. But it's inevitable there are going to be civilians killed because most of the fighting is done in close quarters, and it's also part of the agenda of the Hamas and the other organizations to hide behind civilian populations, with the full understanding, one, that in the past Israel was very, very careful not to do any damage for fear of killing civilians, but the policy seems to have shifted and changed more into a Sharon kind of policy, as I see it. Is you go in and you do what you have to do, and if civilians are killed, it is sad, unfortunate, really and genuinely a tragedy. But that's not going to stop us from doing what we have to do. And I think that policy shift has really driven Hamas crazy because they don't have that element of protection any longer. And I think that's also why they're desperately seeking some kind of ceasefire, which, of course, we know is just to rearm and to regroup. And we're unwilling to play into that situation at this moment in time. And I think that's a right move. And as long as this continues, this is going to be a status quo, and it's not what we want. It's not what I think maybe, hopefully, the Palestinians may want in the West Bank. But it's the way it seems to be evolving, dealing with terrorism. And I think that we have to just be very strong, and we have to do whatever we have to do, and include talk with everybody. And I think, in one sense, it was very heroic of Olmert to make the public statement that we're willing to talk to Syria. What I believe that whole scene was about had nothing to do with us and Syria. It had to do with Turkey and Syria because they're negotiating water treaties. And part of it was that Israel, my understanding, is that Israel would be willing to speak to Syria as part of this agreement. Well, we said we would, and then, of course, today Syria says that, well, they'll never stop having relations with Hamas and Iran and so forth, which of course nixes the whole possibility of any kind of agreement to give back any part of the Golan Heights. So I think, in one sense, Elmer could really say what he wanted to say, publicly look good, which is okay, and at the same time know that Syria is not really serious or even interested at this point in time of making any kind of peace with Israel.
Well, Steve, I really resent that process, the way the thing works, whether it's with Olmert or whether it's with Bush or whether it's with Assad or all of these leaders who, I mean, that's part of the spin culture that we live in, which I think really, really plays against us in terms of trying to create a livable world, whether it has to do with, terrorism and the issue between us and the Arab world, or it has to do with the ecology and the climate changing, whether it is changing or not changing and how it's changing. So much of what you hear of what people say is like nonsense, and they have they don't mean it. It's not serious, but it's said in order to make an effect which is not necessarily in line with what it is they're actually saying, does something which I think is very morally debilitating to just plain folks, because you get to the point where you just can't trust or believe anybody. And I don't think that that's a healthy space for us to be in as Jews, as human beings, as as citizens of this planet, and I'm very upset by it. I'd just rather that people kept their mouths shut and make the no comment comment and let it go at that. Then we can fantasize and we can theorize, and the people whose job it is to theorize and are not official spokesmen can say, well, what he really wants, what he really thinks and what was really going on is this or that or the other thing, and that's fine. But when an official person, prime minister, president, a person of stature, makes those kind of statements, and we know instinctively that they're just blah blah words for the sake of saying something, I think it in the long run does not play to the benefit of living things out here.
I would agree 100%. But we do have a dilemma here, and the dilemma is that we live in this real politic world that we have to participate as a state. Now, you could have an argument saying that we don't have to, and that's an argument, and that's something that really should be discussed. Do we take our moral codes that essentially is our Jewish heritage, and do we play that to the hilt and do everything we have to do according to that? And if it means not participating in this political arena, a public political arena, with all the shenanigans and the games and so forth, would it benefit us? And I tend to feel that in the past we didn't do that, and it really hurt us. On the other hand, no matter what we do, someone on the hard left, on the anti-Zionist left, on the anti-Israel left, on the anti-Semitic left, will find something to trash us about. They bring the Carters over, you know, to here, to God knows what, to just stir the pot. And I truly believe that he needs to stir the pot because he gets a lot of money from Arab money for his center, and that's part of his process. I also truly believe that he comes here because he really doesn't like us. And also I read an article briefly about the fact that he has real problems within his own church, and the people who he's really against in that church are the people who really are for Israel. And so he takes that stand and put all of this into the mix, and we have a very problematic person. And the older he's getting, the more, I think, senile he seems to be becoming. That's not to in any way take away from the good he did, but then I've heard about a lot of Nazi leaders who were great fathers and were killing lots of people in the afternoon and coming home to have dinners at night with their families. So we're not all good and we're not all bad, but we have to certainly address that parts of the people that try to do us in and bring out into the light as much as possible what we see and what they're really about and what their hidden motives may be. But getting back to the local area, we're in such a dilemma here. I think part of it is we lack intelligent and brave leadership. And I think not only do we lack that, but I think most of the world lacks it. So I think we're in a gap in this time and age of having strong, powerful, and honest leadership. I know, you know, in other parts of the world, here and there, there's someone coming up, like an Obama, people getting on the bandwagon, but, you know, because he's charismatic. And I say that I would like to have less charisma and more substance, especially here, for us here. We have a lot of things we have to address. We have to address the poverty. We have to address the gap between the rich and the poor because of the dynamic system that exists today, economic system. And we have to address the bribery, and we have to address corruption. We have a lot to address. But we also have a wonderful, amazing place. We are now officially, I heard by some, I forgot which organization off the top of my head, we are now truly a first world country, economically speaking. So I don't, you know, that just happened to read that yesterday, I thought. So how interesting that we've been officially elevated into the first world status. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. In spite of all of that, we're a dynamic country. We get out here and we play hard. We love family. And I don't know what else to say about it, but it's really, I really feel blessed to be here for the 60th anniversary. This is really nice to be able to sit here in this beautiful park and talk about some positive things for change. Wherever we want, yes. I think that's really great, having your own show. And I hope others are interested in listening to us jabber on.
I wanted to add that this river that we're sitting next to, the Arkun River, just a few years ago was polluted beyond belief. And a few people who fell in, I think, even died or became extremely ill. And evidently they've cleaned it up because there are people on the river. The river looks fine. There are birds along the banks. That's really great. And so if you look at the photos that accompany this little conversation, you'll be able to see what the river looks like these days. I suppose it's a large stream by American standards, but it's a heck of a river by Middle Eastern standards.
But anyway, from Tel Aviv,
North Tel Aviv,
by the river, by the Yarkon, this is Steve.
And Yoram.
Thank you.